Time for a Stain Gang podcast with head football coach Rich Renner. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for joining the podcast. We'll be with you every week throughout the course of the football season. And the season got started in Joplin, Missouri against Missouri Southern on Saturday night. There were a lot of things to like about what we saw out of Midwestern State, but the final score wasn't what we wanted or what we were hoping for. Were you surprised at – well, first of all, let me ask you this. Were you – What positives did you take out of the game on Saturday after looking at the film?
Well, obviously the positives, you know, there was quite a few positives. Obviously, when you're dealing with a lot of new coaches, new players, that you're trying to keep on the same page and go through the first time. I knew there was going to be some hiccups, and the positive side of it was that I felt that, you know, our penalties were down, which I know they probably could have called more penalties on both of us, but they didn't.
You had one false start penalty that really hurt you when you were down deep in the red zone, probably kept you from going forward on fourth down.
It did, and that was Kelby Hickerson that had a false start, and then Joe tells me later after the game that he took a delay a game penalty because he didn't have enough time to get set, and then he thought that the 5 yards deeper was a better angle, which I told him I was glad that you made that because that wouldn't have been a good choice if we didn't. But nevertheless, it was just interesting. Joe did a great job, obviously, except for that extra point. But the positives from it was –
but he got that out of his system.
He did. He got that out of his system. So with having five penalties – obviously, one being a face mask, one being a false – actually, two false starts we had on offense. And then
– and that face mask penalty was – that cost you 15 yards and helped them keep a drive going.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So that was a costly one. But, you know, last year at that time, I would say we probably had 9 to 10 penalties.
Oh, yeah.
Or more. So I felt like, you know, the discipline, you know what I mean, because that's how I kind of gauge, you know, a game is to see the discipline of the kids. And I feel like we've got a more disciplined team. So the positives, again, was penalties down. Obviously, the offense moving the ball.
Completing 31 of 38 passes. Would have taken three or four games to complete 31 passes last year.
Yes, sir. And then, obviously, you know, we had our chances to score, you know, other than the fumble there at the three-yard line that was a fourth down that we went for. And then, like you said, the false start that we were going to go for it on fourth down, that now we had to kick a field goal and ended up getting – but nevertheless, those things, you know, were negatives, but it was positive to see that the offense, you know, kept the ball. I think it was 28 minutes, a little over 28 minutes of the game versus 31 of them. So it was a balanced possession. You know, it you know, the kids.
You were good on third down.
We were very well. I'd say we were 56%, I believe, on third down, which is good. Don't get me wrong, but.
I think it went down late in the game because earlier in the game you had a much higher percentage than that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so, and then we scored first. You know, we scored on the first drive, and so there was a lot of
pretty good way to start the season with a 75-yard flea flicker.
Yes, sir.
That had to feel good because that wasn't spur of the moment.
No, it wasn't. We knew it was coming. We've been planning that for a long time, and obviously I was excited and the kids were excited to see it work because we talked about it for weeks and weeks and they've been working on it and so obviously executed it and so again when that happened I thought okay here we go, you know what I mean, and then obviously you know we had to go back on defense and we couldn't get off the field on third down, so then you talk about the negatives and those things that came up that obviously we've got to get correct this week.
Not only did you score on that first drive, you scored on your second drive too. So you were able to move the football. That was not a problem. You mentioned the fumble in the red zone. You had a fumble at midfield. They go on a three-play, 51-yard scoring drive. That was kind of a turning point in the game.
It was. It definitely was. You know, big plays really hurt us. Again, that 15-yard penalty was in there.
Yep.
After that, and so there we talk about sudden changes in a game, and obviously there was a sudden change when we fumbled the ball there at midfield, and offense was driving, was on a roll, especially like you said, that was the third series, so the first two series we go down and score, and then that happens on the third one when it kind of stalled the momentum a little bit, which then. You know, the next series, I wouldn't say the next, but one of those next ones there, we end up ending with a field goal. And then, obviously, they got the ball there at the end and kicked a field goal to kind of take away the
yeah, you know, they get the ball back with, what, a minute eight to play at the end of the half and end up scoring at the end of the half. So it looked like it was going to be a one-point game, I think, at halftime, and it ended up being a four-point difference.
That's right. That's right. And so, again, we felt like at halftime we were in a good place to still
very
win
much
the game,
in the game.
And,
You were in the game till the end.
Yes, sir.
Frankly.
Most definitely.
So having emphasized the positive, one of the things that jumps out at you as you're watching that game is they were able to kind of run the ball at will.
Most definitely.
How do you stop that, and how big a concern is that, especially going into a Western Colorado game where Western Colorado ran the ball well against West Texas?
Most definitely. I think, obviously it is a big concern. You know, number one in defense, you've got to stop the run. And we weren't able to do that, obviously, for a number of reasons. And, looking back at the film and looking at making the adjustments and the corrections and everything else, I mean, I feel like that it wasn't an effort issue. I think it was more a schematic issue, and I think things that we needed to tweak and get corrected. And that's what we're doing this week to get ready for Western Colorado.
Did you think it was a tackling issue?
You know, I tackling, we did have a few missed tackles, but I don't think those are the ones that cost us. I think the angles of the pursuit of the ball and the angle of tackling and keeping it within the cup to make that tackle and forcing it back to our help and losing contain. I mean, first game, when you're not seasoned like you are after midway through the season.
And basically you can't tackle in practice. I mean, I know you have a couple of practices where you can tackle, but
it's very limited.
It's very limited.
The NCAA limits that for injury purposes and health reasons. And again, you don't knock it. You understand why. But it does hurt a little bit with tackling. And so you've got to be able to try to simulate those tackling moves and simulate those tackling situations and in practice without getting guys hurt. And so sometimes that can be a challenge.
And particularly challenging against them because they're a physical team. About Missouri Southern.
Missouri Southern was. They were well coached, and they had a great scheme, and they did a great job attacking us downhill and hitting in the middle of the line. And that's where we've definitely got to get tougher and be more physical and shore up.
So what type of game should we expect Saturday night when Midwestern State faces Western Colorado?
Well, I tell you, it's going to be another tough game. I mean, obviously, when I say tough game, physical game, it's going to be a team that that's very high octane in scoring. Western Colorado, put up, I think, 48 points on West Texas in their first game at home, and it was a battle, I think, at halftime.
It was a battle into the fourth quarter. The final score of that game makes it look like West Texas really got waylaid, but that's not exactly how that game went down.
No, West Texas did a great job. They played hard. They gave up some big plays, kind of like we did in the first game as well. And then, like you said, in the fourth quarter, they just kind of stalled offensively and couldn't keep up with Western Colorado. And Western Colorado, like I said, is a good team and very well coached, and they've got a great scheme. And we've definitely got our work cut out for us this week. We've definitely got to eliminate the run. We've got to also eliminate the big plays that hurt us against Missouri Southern. I think if we eliminate, just two of those in the second half, the one positive thing about the defense, like I said, was, we gave up, I think it was 19 points in the first half, or 20 points in the first half, but then we turn around and only give up 13 in the last two in the second half. So obviously we got better. We gave up two touchdowns, but one was an missed point or extra point that they missed, and so that gave us a chance to make that run and try to tie it up and go into overtime. And so, again, I think that after we made some corrections at halftime and the kids understood and saw what they were doing wrong, that they did a better job. But again, we've got to get better on the perimeter. We got to get better in the pass as well, playing the pass as well as getting off the field on third down.
You talked about Western Colorado's scheme. What is their scheme? Without getting too much in the weeds, what is it that impresses you about their scheme?
Well, they have an athletic quarterback that runs the football, so he brings a whole other dimension, kind of like we had last week with Long Geno, where he got out of a lot of pressure situations because he can scramble and move around. And so that makes it very difficult for a team that's trying to sack him and trying to, put pressure on him. And they also, he's a veteran. He's been around. He's played a lot of games. He's played the last two, years that he's been, in the playoffs. And so he's a smart kid. He's seen a lot of defenses and schemes and what have you, and have tacked them and beat them. And he's a physical kid. So he's a tough kid. So, this is a tough team, that's going to come in here and be physical, and we have to meet the physicality and surpass it and, and, and go out there and take away the victory.
What do you expect to see out of their defense?
You know, their defense is going to spread. You know, obviously, I think they're gonna you know, try to twist and play a three down front, and they're gonna try to blitz and put pressure on Geno and try to get some mismatches on probably our offensive linemen. And then, you know, I don't know how much man they're going to play, but they're going to play, you know, some man and try to, you know, try to, you know, make Geno throw the perfect throws, you know, where instead of playing zone, and you know what I mean, and letting the receiver be open where they can, where he can easily hit them.
You've mentioned a couple of times the play of Jacoby Longino, the senior out of Houston, transferred here from Lamar. We mentioned he completed 31 of 38 passes. And it looked like he had some opportunities where maybe he could have run, but he passed. So he is a pass-first quarterback that can buy himself some time with his legs.
Most definitely, yeah, you know, and he's a kid, a good kid and everything else. We're lucky to have him here, and he came in you know, just right before camp and really earned the starting position and has gotten better and better as camp went along, as well as, you know, we hope he continues to have success. You know, that was kind of like his first true start, you know, as a collegiate athlete. You know, he was a backup there at Lamar behind a really good starter as well. And so we were lucky and fortunate enough to get him. And he, like I said, he did a great job, and he's been doing a great job managing the offense. And so we've just got to continue to keep him healthy and keep him, you know, obviously reading coverages and making the right reads.
And it looks like you've got a pretty good running game. I mean, the numbers weren't eye-popping on Saturday night, but the running game was effective. And Ryan Swierczynski particularly was kind of impressive with his inside running.
Yes, sir. He did a great job, you know, other than his fumble. Did a great job running the ball hard. He's a really good kid and works hard and does a great job. You know, in all aspects in the classroom and as well as off the class, out of the classroom and on the football field. But you know, he got his opportunity and he, you know, made the most of it and was running hard, like I said. And, you know, we just wish he could have held on to the ball down there in the 3-yard line. But, you know, things like that happens. And, you know, you can look back and we've got a wide open Kelby Hickerson in the back of the end zone if we can block just a little bit longer for, you know, Geno to get it to him. And that would have been a touchdown. Instead, we had to settle for a field goal. So I just think that, you know, there's some plays there that we'd love to have back, just like probably Missouri Southern would, and, you know, that we hopefully can capitalize them on this week.
And I'm guessing your thoughts are pretty similar about Kenji Johnson.
Yes, sir. Kenji, you know, obviously is continuing to get better. He kind of tweaked his hamstring a week ago, and so he's continuously getting better and better. And so he was obviously out there playing and was doing a great job as well until he fumbled as well there at the 50-yard line. And again, that kind of hurt us a little bit. But Kenji's a, you know, great player, great competitor, and he, you know, obviously is going to bounce back.
The other guy that I know some fans have mentioned and has quickly become a fan favorite is Connor Dunphy.
Yes, yeah, Connor Dunphy, he's another good one. You know, we got him and Case Peacock from North Texas, and we're just thankful to have both of those guys. Both those guys are really good receivers and have done a great job catching the ball and you know, obviously getting yak yards after the catch, and so we're excited to have them. So, you know, they're definitely weapons for Geno, and we've got quite a few weapons, to be honest with you, with Matthews and DeMonte Green and Peacock and Lott and a lot more behind them. And so we're just fortunate that, you know, in that type of offense, you've got to have, you know, weapons to be able to get the ball to.
I know you want to attack on offense, and I would say you were successful at that on Saturday night.
I felt so. You know, this was the first time, I think, since I've been here in 19 years, that we've never had to punt.
Right.
You know, in a game.
Which was a concern, I know, when we talked in the podcast last week.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
We never even got to see you punt. Now, Kenji Johnson was listed as your punter.
Yes, sir.
Is that who you're going with as punter if you ever have to punt this season?
Well, yeah, we'll see as his hamstring continues to heal. I mean, Joe can punt as well, and we've got, you know, Garcia, and we've got Mendoza as well that can punt. So we've got some other punters there that we can stick in there if need be. But yes, I was going with Kenji in the game that night, and so luckily we didn't have to punt, and we were going for it. And then again, you know, we weren't overly successful. I think we were at 41% on fourth down, which is not the greatest.
You had a couple of big conversions early, though.
Yes, sir.
And then I think your percentage was hurt late in the game. You got no choice. You got to go for it on fourth down a couple of times.
Most definitely. And I think that was one of the mistakes, you know, Longino made was, you know, it was 4th and 8 and down there in the red zone, and he steps out at 6 yards instead of getting 2 more yards for the first down, and would have kept that drive going again, and we could have scored, but we had to turn the ball over there back in, you know, deep in their end zone,
yeah,
or deep in their side of the field. And so
what's your message to your team as you go against Western Colorado?
Well, I think the message is that we got to continue to get better. You improve from game one to game two, you know, your biggest improvements. And I think, you know, we've got it. You know, we were right there with Missouri Southern. And again, that's not going to be any easier this week with Western Colorado. They're a great, you know, like I said, great football team, ranked in the top 10 in the country. And so, you know, they're coming home, and we've got to protect the home base and win at home to be a championship team. And again, we can do that, but we've got to get on the win column.
Real quickly, I just want to take a look around the conference. Anything jump out at you about the results? Permian Basin getting a big win over Central Oklahoma, and Eastern New Mexico surprised by New Mexico Highlands.
Yes, you know, obviously Permian Basin's a good football team. Coach McCullough does a great job over there, and that doesn't surprise me. I was kind of surprised how bad they beat them. But again,
34-14, Permian Basin over Central Oklahoma, which was a top five team in the preseason polls.
Most definitely. And again, you know, that preseason doesn't always mean
it doesn't
anything.
Mean anything. So, no, it doesn't mean anything, Coach.
You know, it's always based off of last year. But, you know, and UCO lost a lot of good players. And I'm not saying that they're not good. I'm just saying Permian Basin did a great job of, you know, obviously preparing and executing there on Saturday. And then, you know, the big shocker, you're right, was Eastern New Mexico. You know, Eastern New Mexico usually wins that game and didn't. And so just talking with people in the conference, you know, they gave up some big plays late. You know, it was a close ball game until late in the fourth quarter. And some big plays, again, cost Eastern New Mexico there at the end.
Looks like Central Washington's good again, too. They got a big win over Colorado Mesa.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that you know, and obviously they're always well-coached and play hard. And Angelo won as well against Fort Hayes. And so, yeah, so it's definitely, you know, the Lone Star Conference is not easy week in and week out.
Well, you got one more week to get ready for LSC play. You got to take care of business against Western Colorado in the home opener. I know you're pumped up for it.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Pete. Go Mustangs.
That's Rich Renner, the head football coach here at Midwestern State University. We'll be with you every week with the Stain Gang podcast to talk about Midwestern State football. Be sure to tell your friends. I'm Pete Stein. So long.